bear with me tonight. I'm stumbling around. Y'all liable to be looking at me on the floor in a minute, but, you know, that's all right. If I go down, just leave me alone. Let me lay there for a little bit. Thank you for coming out tonight. It was mighty dark tonight. Night sign. Tell my daughter when I left the house, I said, well, she said, you drive careful tonight. I said, well, I am. I said, it ain't dark out there yet. She said, what do you mean it ain't dark yet? She says, it was dark when I got home. And it was about 5 minutes past five or 10 minutes past five. I said, oh, no. So, well, you know, I think it's good for us just to get back and just reflect on some things from where we came from and where we was at and where we at now and where we're going to be one day, I tell you. You're talking about shouting the victory. You're talking about being a winner. We can shout the victory and we're a winner. We can't lose. Impossible for us to lose. Impossible. But you know, there's so many people today that we come in contact with each and every day that they just don't understand how and why we do the things that we do sometimes. While we come to church 3 and 4 times a week, and why we come each and every night during the revival, and why we want to stay in church, and why we want to come in church and just talk to the Lord and have fellowship. I'm so thankful that God saved my soul, and I don't have to worry about that no more. I don't have to worry about going out here to the ballrooms. I don't have to worry about going out here to all these places that sells all this ungodly stuff and just to try to have a good time. I'm so thankful tonight that I can be in the house of God, that I can be with God's people, and I can have the best time that there is. Matter of fact, I go as far as saying this. I thought I was having a good time before I got saved. For 30 years, I thought I was having a good time. But I come to find out I wasn't having a good time. I was just going on. But boy, I've had a ball since I've got saved. And I tell you, since the Lord saved me, He's done so many things in my life. Even to this day, I still don't understand. I don't understand all of it. The only thing that I do is I just go by what He says. You know, God's not the author of confusion. You know who the author of confusion is today? The preachers that's behind the pulpit that is not preaching the truth. They're confusing people to where people don't know what to believe anymore. I mean, I know of preachers today that they used to stand for something, that had a backbone, that would say what this Bible said and would not back up, would not bow down to anybody. But now, today, they're backing up and they're having pressure all over them and everything. And where they're getting the pressure from, they're not getting the pressure from Satan, from what they're preaching and all the changes that they're doing. You know where the pressure is coming from? The congregation. It's some things the devil has no part in. Some things that we blame the devil on, he ain't nowhere around. Now we know that it's commanded in God's word for us to be faithful to him. If we're not faithful to him, it's not because of Satan. It's because of us as individuals. We just got away from his word. But I got some scripture right here I want to read, and I want to read it from Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. There are four individuals that I believe that you're speaking of right here. And I believe the four that you're speaking of is men that love individuals and love their soul. Here tonight, we're going to be reading from verse 1 down to probably maybe 11 or 12, somewhere like that. I'm going to try to bring you a message on this thought. Are we any of the four? Are we any of the four? Is doing what God wants us to do? Or are we just on the sideline? Just waiting and hoping and praying that somebody else is going to do it. And we can just sit back and just watch. The Father, he don't need no spectators. He needs some people that's willing to work for him. Willing to go about doing some things that he wants done. And I'm going to read a couple verses, and then I'm going to just probably go down and just maybe skip about. But it says right here in verse 1, says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. Now any time I believe that you see right here that where individuals was at and where a noise was going on that people could hear, a noise that they've never heard before, you can always go and read it and you'll come to find out that Jesus is in the midst somewhere. Jesus is in the midst. We can even experience it today. When Jesus is in the midst, we just can't keep quiet. When Jesus is in the midst, we just can't walk alone. But when Jesus is in the midst, other people are going to hear it from us. He's going to hear it from the Christian. And it says, and straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Jesus Christ had a multitude of people. He was in an individual's home. I believe that this right here is one of the cottage prayer meetings that the Lord was having part in. We don't hear anything much today about cottage prayer meetings, where we can go, where we can meet on a Friday night or Saturday night, and where the individual's home that we go to that they're shut in or something like that, and they can't get out and they can't come to church because they're not able to. We don't hear anything about cottage prayer meetings no more. We need to go back to the old ways, to our old roots, per se. Because if we go back to the old roots that once we came forth from, then we would have them things to come about. Now today there in Ridgeway, when we was at the preacher's meeting, there was a missionary there. And this missionary, he's a missionary to South Africa. And I'll tell you what, he has a burden for the individuals there in South Africa. Because it just as soon as he stood up, you could see the tears coming from his eyes and running down his cheek. So you knew that what he was experiencing, he was experiencing something that he's never experienced before. Over there in South Africa, they will go into one little small community, a little town, and they will have probably 10, 12, maybe 15 prisons there. But he said he would go into them prisons and he would preach to them. And he said sometimes you would see some of the biggest and look like the meanest men that you ever seen. Looked like that they could just come and if somebody would allow them just to go forth and do what they want to do, they'd come up and slit your throat. He says that's what they appeared to be. But he says they humbled themselves. They humbled themselves and they got on their knees and they begged God to save their soul. Within the last year, this past year alone over there in the prisons, he says over 479 individuals has given their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus. He has a burden for South Africa. He says, only thing that you see on TV talking about Africa and all these foreign countries right here, and some of the programs that show all these high rises and all these buildings and everything. He said, but what they really don't show you is the true South Africans that don't have anything. And he says, yes, they're sleeping outside. And if they have somebody if they see a cloth or something like that where they can cover up at night, they have to cling to it. And they have to cling so tight to it because if it didn't, they'd wake up the next morning and it would not be there. Somebody else would have been come by there during the night and stole it from them. They don't have no running water.
in some of the homes there, the little cottages that they live in there. They don't have no running water. They don't have no heating system. And he says, right here in the United States of America, he says, we will look at an individual's home that looks like that we wouldn't even go into. But he says, they would love to be able to have a place like that where they could get out. Get in from the weather that they're under. And says, over there, the political scene and everything, and all the people that comes in, and he says, and all the money that the United States of America is sending these foreign countries over here and sending them food and everything to go over there to feed these people, feed these children and everything. And he says, don't get me wrong. He says, they need it. And he says, we even have Samaritan Purse. We even have all the other Christian organizations here in the United States of America that are shipping loads of food over there, truckloads of food. He said, but when it gets off of the ship there, and once it gets on the land, they have no more control over it. The people don't get it. You know where it goes to? It goes to the government. And they will sell it. And they will sell it to the people. What they buy it for, what they could go out here and buy it for, they could buy it for a little measly nothing. But yet when the government gets a hold to it, you got to work 3 and 4, 5 days for it. You know, even it's soon approaching. It's soon approaching for the Lord to return. I believe that as good as I'm standing here. And we have the proof of it, not just here in the Word of God, but we have the proof of it in the places that we go to at least once a week. Some may go twice a week. And that is called the grocery store. There in the, I think it's the 6th chapter in the book of Revelations. Let me find it right here. I was reading it here the other day. In the book of Revelation, this is after the raptures that had taken place. This is right here after the the Lord has come. And is speaking about what's about to happen. And he's telling the people there what is about to happen and what is coming to place. But here in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, let's start with we'll start with verse 1 and go on down to probably verse 7, 8. And I saw with the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to be conquered. The second seal, the peace. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I heard, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balance in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, he heard the voice of the fourth beast, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And in his name that sat on him was death and hell, followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and the beast of the earth. Back up here in verse 6 it says, And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Right here we see where they're going out here and buying wheat for a penny. They're going out here and buying a barley for a penny. And we know that you go back, I believe it's in the book of Matthew, where he's speaking about where the Lord Jesus, or where the farmer there, and the Lord Jesus Christ also mentions it also. He goes back and he brings these things up. But there in Matthew, the farmer said unto the hirers, he said, "Well, I'm going to go out here and I need some help for today. I need some hired hands for today." So they meet in the morning, and he hires his help for the day. What kind of wages does he give them for 8 or 10 hours a day of work? Penny a day. Penny a day. A day's wages was 1 cent. Then he goes back and he sees some more there that is looking for work around lunchtime, midday. Hires them to work from midday until 5, 6 o'clock, maybe 4, 5, or 6 hours the remainder of that day. What does they give? What did he give them? He also paid them the same amount, a penny for that day, a penny for their work. Why? Because you see, God's no respecter. God will not give someone else more than he will you or than he will me. It may come in a different form. It may come in a different way. But the other night, I believe it was either Monday night or I believe it was Monday night after I got back from Roman Eagle. Got my wife to fix me a couple of sandwiches. And I was sitting there eating the sandwiches and I told her, I says, this is some of the freshest bread I've tasted in a long time. For the majority of the time you get the bread and it's like almost toast-like. And I asked her, when did you get it? She said, well, I got it this week. What's wrong with it? Naturally. I says, nothing wrong with it. I says, it's fresh. I'm surprised. I said, I reckon it's probably what? Probably only $2 on a loaf on it. She says, what? She was $3 and something, almost $4 a loaf. I said, Lord, have mercy. And this right here reminded me. Hallelujah, you come back, Lord, come on my own. Pray God, because I don't think I can afford a day's wages. And that's what it's coming to. That's what it's coming to. Because we cannot even go out here and buy enough groceries for one day for a family that it does not take a day's wages. Because it's so high. It's so high. I can remember this was back in 2008 or 2009 when after President Obama was elected and everything and he was up there trying to pick out his cabinet and everything, get them situated and everything. And he was getting them all together and everything. So then they had to go to Congress and have to go to the Senate and be approved and all of that and everything. Well, I had one there was in the agricultural department. And they got to, and he had put her up, and everything to be on the committee over the agricultural department. As far as I'm concerned, that's about the way he was too. He didn't know what he was doing on top of that. But I remember they had her on Fox News one night before she had to go to Congress and be approved. And this is what she said to come out of her own mouth. And as soon as it come out of her mouth, Sean Hannity, I don't know if y'all even know him, ever seen him on TV or not. But his mouth opened so wide that you could rope a railway bus through his mouth. That's how wide it was. He could not believe what she said. This is what she said. Because they was talking about her going before Congress. And then they approving her. And he asked her, what did she think about the farmers? He says, you know, y'all not doing nothing else but taking the farm away from the owners of the companies. Y'all are taking the farm out of the main rim that where they're supposed to be in, the main livelihood of the people in the United States of America. And she said, well, no, we're not. And he come back with this question. He asked her. He says, where do you think you get your food from? Where do you think I get my food from? You know what she said? She says, I get mine from Wendy's. I mean, and here's a woman that
she ain't no lady. Here's a woman, an ignorant woman on top of that. I mean, she's been to college and has got a master's degree, a Ph. degree and everything and all of that. Now, how ignorant can you get? I mean, you know, but people, they think that they can go to the grocery store, they can go in and buy what they want, it's there for them, but that's where it comes. Where do you get your water from? Well, I get my water from Food Lion. Where do I get my furniture from? From Shul's? I mean, people are crazy. I mean, you know. But I could not believe. Well, she never did get confirmed. Because one of the congressmen come up next on Sean Hannity was the next guest that he had. And he told Sean Hannity, he says, I'd love to have a picture of you. He said, because your mouth was open so wide, says you couldn't even see your eyes. He says, and on top of that, I could not believe the answer she gave. And she didn't say anything good at all about the farmers. She didn't even believe in them. I mean, but he's coming back. He's coming back real soon. He's coming back real, real soon. And I thank the Lord he is, because I ain't going to have to worry about so many people right here that has all of this knowledge that they say that they have, but they have none at all. You know, it's good to have knowledge. But from in some people's realm, it's dangerous for people to have knowledge. It is dangerous. Right here we've seen where talking about. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was bore of four. There was one time in my life I was sick. I was sick. My appendix had ruptured. Went into gangrene. And the surgeon has left Danville. Had left the state and gone overseas on vacation. But thank God I had a grandfather that was there that day with my mother. And he did not let it lie. He went out and he found another surgeon. Because I'd already been up there 30 days then after I had this first surgery, the appendicitis. And he went to him and he told him, he said, the boy's not getting no better. And even the nurses, they are really having concern for him. They got another surgeon in during the surgery. Hey, I was right at my death's door. But thank God that he gave me another opportunity. It was some years later. Yeah. But thank God that I was that individual. Just like this individual right here that was sick,
with the palsy that could not even get up out of his bed, could not even walk, could even get to where he would even get out to where he could go to the restroom, anything like that. He was that sick. But he heard a noise. And in hearing that noise, he had been praying. He said, I sure would love to be there. I would love to be there. He just kept on saying that. I would love to be there. I would love to be there. That's what one of the commentaries says. He was saying, I'd love to be there. Whether he said it or not, I don't know, but I can imagine him saying it. But it was saying it. Then he had the first man come along. I want to go heaven. He was a saint of God. He knew Jesus Christ. He knew the Holy Spirit. He knew the God the Father. And as he went to the man, and when he went in, when he walked in, and he see that man right there lying in a bed, still saying, I wished I could be there. I wished I could be there. This one man now, it doesn't say here, this is what God give me. The saint of God showed up. He showed up. The Christian that loved God showed up. We need to show up. And when we show up, we don't show up just by ourselves. We have three others that's with us. Just like he speaks of four that was there, that picked up that bed and carried the sick of the palsy to the room, to this house. God. The God of life. He was there with the saint. And then it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation that he gives so freely, that he went and he died for people, for like the sick of the palsy. And for the whosoever will like you. The saint brought God the Father, brought God, he, and brought he his Son. Not only that, he brought somebody else with him. He brought the Holy Spirit, which is the He. You had four individuals there. You had a man, a saint of God that loved him. Then you had God the Father. Then you had God the Son. Then you had God the Holy Spirit. You have four individuals. Have you ever seen, have you ever heard of people saying that, you know, you'll get your adrenaline going and everything, you'll be so worked up and everything that you can do things that you never ever thought you could ever do? I've heard of people really, I've heard of people here in Danville, Pennsylvania County, say that they have seen people that would pick up an automobile where they could get the tire up off of the ground so the individual could give out from under that car. Where does that strength come from? Did it come from that man? No. This strength come from above. That's just like a saint of God. He went inside and he saw that man. And he just heard him say, he said, "I wish I could be that. I wish I could just be that here." Jesus Christ was preaching. He said, "I wish I could be that." The saint of God, he gets so glad. He puts his arm up under the bed and he lifts the bed. He lifts the bed so high that he gets the bed out of the house. He is going down a dirt road. I don't know how far he had to go. Going down a dirt road. Carrying the sick of the poor to where Jesus was. It wasn't just, he wasn't just alone. Just like the picture frame, just like the picture that you see speaking about the footprints. It's always on a shore, and it's always where it looks like you can see a figure walking, but you don't see but one set of footprints. But he's carrying somebody. Who is he carrying? He's carrying me. He's carrying me. That's where that second footprint comes in. But we don't see that. Why? Because he's carrying us. And it doesn't make no difference how big we are, how tall we are, how small we are, how pretty we are, or how handsome we are, or how ugly we are. That when we get back to saying, "Thank you, Lord." Me and Brother James was talking about an individual today. We weren't talking about it. But Brother James just brought him up. He said at his church, and I think he would come, they come to him one night because they sung. And he'll bless your heart. He really will. But I was up here. And the night that young lady got saved, and then the other gentleman come down, rededicated his life to the Lord. This gentleman was sitting back down in his pew. And before he does it, he always looks up with his eyes turned up toward heaven, sticks that hand out. Not only will he bless the individual that's waving at him, but the individuals that's around him. The individual that notices it, and I think people would notice it, and they don't mean to just look around or anything, but I think they sense something. He's got his hand out here just waving like that. He's got his eyes turned toward heaven and looking straight up. Listen, amen.
We need to learn how to wait. We need to learn how to worship.
And I know it's more to that story right here. It's more that I could bring out in it. But we need to quit. And I do thank you. I mean, first of all, I want to leave tonight without personally thanking each and every one of you tonight for what y'all did Sunday. Y'all didn't have to.
I know my wife is back at home saying, she's awake. And the baby in the room said, I know my baby. But, I do appreciate it. I really do. What really surprised me was it was done in that room. Y'all know how to do it. Because, see, October's in a month. It, all the churches do, but I don't know why do you have to just do certain things in 1 month? I don't understand that. I read some people think, well, the Lord's coming back, and He's coming back January 16th at 6 o'clock. And if He don't come back, I ain't coming to church no more. That's what some people feel. But if He don't come back the 16th, 17th, He don't come back tomorrow, when He comes Sunday, He still ain't come back, I'm going to be right here. And I know each and every one of you will. I don't have to guess who's going to be. People ask all the time, how's the church doing? I said, we have 100% of them. I said, we don't want to have nobody out. I said, they always like it. I said, now how many did you have? How many did you have missing Sunday? They come up and don't put a number on. They're terrible. I don't like that. Tell me. Well, you must have been having a good time, but you didn't say anything.
I'll stick some together. chickens are raised on the farm, and I said the chickens eat wheat and stuff like that. They do things on the farm, but I said the chickens have the eggs. And I feel that'll come from the yard. But we raised a garden or two after being at there, and they love the garden. They love the vegetables. They get out there, and then you can wait, you know.
They need to work on it.
We're going to communicate.
He just can't socialize this law.
It's glad.
I told him I'm going to get a big old clock to put up over there.
Since it was a glad, maybe you couldn't see. It'd be all right this time.
You know what I tell? You have a watch.
Right.